So, a little check up on the homework I gave you last time. And maybe some of you are thinking, huh, homework? I don't remember getting any homework. But the thing is, you've had 2 full weeks this time. As I challenged you at the end of my sermon, so I'm just curious, as we are continuing through our Fearless Generosity series, how did you do since the last time we met? Did you have an opportunity to be generous with your words? Or did you have an opportunity to be generous with your time? Did you carve some time out of your day where you did something out of the norm by giving some of your time away to serve someone? Or how about your money? Have you been generous with your money over these past few weeks? Well, this morning, as we continue through this series, we're going to look at two different passages here. So you might want to kind of turn to one and put your thumb in the other or finger in the other so we can go to it. But we're going to be looking at Malachi chapter 1. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. So you go to Matthew and then just turn back and you'll find Malachi. And then we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. The chapter in Malachi is very interesting, as it's going to be talking about sacrifice here in the Old Testament way of looking at sacrifice. And we're going to find that God has some very strong words that he is going to tell his people here. Because see, in the history of what is going on here, we can find that the Babylonians were coming in and they wanted to destroy the nation of Judah. And so they did. And what they ended up doing was they would take some of the people out of Judah and they brought them back to Babylon and they put them all across the empire. But it was prophesied that the people of Judah would return home, and sure enough, the people of Israel did return home. And when they returned to Jerusalem for a season, they worshiped God as he intended for them. But unfortunately, they began to slip away from being a light for God to the nations. And we see that one reason why this happened is because of the priests began to get sloppy in their worship, because they began to allow lame animals and these imperfect animals to be sacrificed. And so they got sloppy in their worship. And once the priests got sloppy in their worship, we find that then the people of Israel also began to get sloppy in their worship. And it ended up that essentially the attitude of the people went in the tank. Because now they were saying, well, I guess we've got to go to the temple today and offer our sacrifice. So children, y'all all get ready. Let's go on to the temple. It's time for us to do that again today. Let's go. And so we can see that this is the type of attitude that God begins to attack here in Malachi. So let's begin looking here in Malachi chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand. Will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to this its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. And then going over to Romans 12, beginning in verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we get this kind of deal here where sacrifices are talked about in Malachi, connected with this concept of sacrifice in the book of Romans. And the question I want us to ask ourselves today is this: are we giving God less than our best? Or are we seeing everything that we do as an act of worship? And are we giving our best to God? You know, as you look at this little wonderful kitchen dish here, what do you think of when you see this? Leftovers. Perfect. Yes, we think of leftovers. And, you know, leftovers aren't all that bad. As you know, you could say, well, I have some leftovers from Longhorn, and I'd be down for that. Or I have some leftovers from Olive Garden, and I'm okay with that. But, you know, you don't serve leftovers all the time. Because what we can see that is going on here is there are times where leftovers aren't appropriate. Because, see, here in Malachi chapter 1, God calls out the governor. He says, if the governor was coming over, is this the kind of sacrifice that you would make for the governor? You know, let's put it this way. If the governor was coming over to your house today for lunch, would you serve him leftovers? Or guys, maybe you could connect with this. You get a phone call and saying you had won a dinner with Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning was coming over to your house for dinner. And that doorbell rings. You're all excited. You answer the door, and there's Peyton Manning. And he says, what are we having for dinner? And you say, well, I'll tell you what, Peyton Manning. My wife made the greatest meatloaf on Friday. And so you go to the refrigerator. You pop open that Tupperware. You stick it in the microwave. And you start going. And you would say, that's completely inappropriate. You wouldn't serve leftovers to Peyton Manning or the governor or someone of importance if they are coming to your house. And what we see is as you read the book of Malachi, you're going to see that there's this balance theme that goes throughout it, that there are strong questions accompanied by strong answers. And I think there is a strong answer here for us, that if it would be inappropriate for us to give leftovers to Peyton Manning or to the governor, how much more is it inappropriate for us to give our leftovers to the Savior, particularly when it comes to our time and our talents and our resources? Just think about this for a moment. In every church, there are basically three groups of people. Three groups of people who give their time to the local church. There is a group of no people who they will not serve the local church at all, never, until they retire from this world. Then there's the middle circle, and it's usually the largest circle of all. It's the maybes, that I maybe will serve and help if I have time. If I can fit it in between all my trips to the lake, if I can fit it in between all my shopping trips, if I can fit it in between everything I do with my kids, then if I have anything left over, then I will use that time to serve God in the church or in the community. And then you have a third group, which is a small circle, usually about the same size as the no's, which are the yeses. And that's week in and week out, they will do whatever they can to serve God through the church. And so you can count on them. And so there's the no's, the maybes, and the yeses. And I've heard it said before that 100% of people in the church are willing. That's amazing, isn't it? 100% are willing. That 20% are willing to serve, and the other 80% are willing to let them. But 100% are willing. But that's the percentage that usually falls out. It's said that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. And I have seen that true in the majority of churches. But what I want us to look at today is I want us to see as we look at this is that the choices we have are an opportunity to worship God through our generosity. It's the choices that we make that will determine whether our generosity is worshipful for the Lord or not. And the first thing we have to understand as we progress on this pathway to generosity, of the pathway to our generosity becoming worship, is that first of all, we have to understand ownership. That is the very first thing that we have to wrestle with in terms of our decisions. Every single minute of every single day is ownership. We have to ask, who owns that? Psalm 24, verse 1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." It says, everything belongs to God. And if we approach life with this mentality, if we approach life with this right mindset, then we can be on the right footing to make sure that our generosity is worthy of the worship of God, is worthy of worshiping God. But if we get this wrong, then let me tell you today, it will be impossible for you to have a generous heart and a generous life that is worthy as the Lord's worship. Because see, if you view everything as your own, then you will not want to give anything to anyone. Because it's mine. It's human nature. We see it in kids. It starts out right at the beginning. A kid's playing with a toy and somebody else comes up and says, "Can I play with that toy?" No, it's mine. I hear that all the time at my home. That's just human nature. That's what we do. If we view it as our own, we will not share. But if you view your life, as Romans 12:1 says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God." Some translations there put it this way, "in view of God's mercy." What that means is that we are going to be looking over the shoulder of our life. And when we are looking back, we are seeing how amazing God has been to us. We are seeing how generous God has been to us. And when you view everything that you have as God's, when you understand God's ownership, you don't mind in being generous with other people. If you understand God's ownership, then you will be very much aware that we need to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. So we have to, first of all, understand this idea of ownership. The second thing we have to deal with is gratitude versus ingratitude. The second step on this pathway to generosity is that we avoid ingratitude. Ingratitude is this: forgetting what God has done for us. Have we forgotten? In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul begins that book by saying, here is what God has done for you. His purpose is to remind them of what God has done for them. And maybe here this morning, we need to be reminded of what God has done and what He has been to us. See, the heart of gratitude and generosity run alongside each other, once again, all in view of God's mercy. You know, have you ever thought, why does Romans 12 fall where it does? Well, very simply, it's because it's where God wanted it to be. But also, you can see that through the past 11 chapters, Paul has been pouring out this concept of the gospel. In the first 11 chapters, he has been proclaiming that we are dead in our sins, that we can't do squat spiritually because we are in our deathbed. We are not barely alive. No, he says we are dead, that there is no good within us. We are dead in our sins. The Apostle Paul also says that we cannot save ourselves. None of us can be good enough to reach God's perfect standard. And so we need help, and we need the help of Christ. We need the aid of Christ. And the only way we can reach God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And in view of all this, he finishes pouring out the gospel. Then he says, "I want you to present your bodies as living sacrifices." Isaiah 61:10 says this, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." He says that understanding that salvation, understanding that gospel message is what leads him to praise and worship of God. And so do you remember that time in your life? Do you remember that salvation you experienced? Do you remember all that God has done for you that should lead us to have generous hearts? Because do you remember the story in the New Testament where Jesus runs into 10 lepers? You know, the leprosy was a horrible disease. Your skin would just literally begin to rot off. And because of this, the lepers were considered unclean, and they would have their own little cities outside the city. They would have their own little camps because they couldn't be with everybody else. And if they became, if they were around others who were normal, who didn't have leprosy, they would have to walk around going, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," so that everybody else would know to stay away from them. And then Jesus just happens to come upon 10 lepers. And he walks up to them and he says, "Hey, guess what? You're healed." And see, what it says is that they began to take off running towards the high priest, because in order to be declared ceremonially clean, they had to get that blessing from the high priest. And now I don't blame them for running off to him, because if I had been separated from my family, if I hadn't been able to hug my wife for years, if I hadn't been able to have my kids sit in my lap and just kiss all over them, I would be running off to that high priest as quick as I could so that I could be with my family. But this passage tells us that there was one of them while running that he stopped and he began to think, "Why have I received such a gift?" And it says he turns back and he runs back to Jesus and he falls on his face and he begins to worship him as Lord. And Jesus, though, says, "Weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? And when I think about being a generous church, when I think about the three groups of people that exist within all churches, the no's, the yeses, the maybes, when I think through if the Lord was looking at our local church and he was seeing those who are being generous with their time and their talents, you know, I wonder if Jesus ever looks and says, "Where's the other 80%? Didn't I save more than just the 20% who are serving? Where are all these other people? The groups of the no's and the maybes. Who's going to carry the load of ministry that the yes people have said, 'You can count me all in'? Where are they?" I'll tell you what, if you are a Christ follower here today and your mentality is, "No, I will not serve. There is no way I'm ever going to serve, or if I'm just going to try to squeeze it in if I ever have time," I want you to ask yourself, why is there not more gratitude in my life for what Christ has done for me? Why isn't there more gratitude flowing out of my life towards other people? It reminds me of a story that I heard about an orphanage in India. There was an orphanage there on the side of the mountain had been adopted by an organization in England, and they would send them money, they would send them food, school supplies, clothing, and every Christmas they would send the children the best gifts. And so Christmas comes around, they get their Christmas gifts, they're all excited, but at that time the head of the orphanage discovered that there was another orphanage on the other side of the mountain, and they weren't receiving any help, and they were actually struggling pretty bad, and they didn't have enough money that year to buy any of the kids anything for Christmas. So he gathered all the kids there at the orphanage together, and he says, "Hey, I've heard about this orphanage on the other side of the mountain, and the kids there didn't have any Christmas. So what if you all go back to your rooms, and you get those old toys that you don't play with much anymore, and you gather them all together, and we'll send them to that orphanage so those kids will have something." So the kids began to go out, and they began to slowly come back. You want to know what they came back with? They came back with those brand new toys that they had just received. So he gathered the kids together and says, "I don't think you understood. You don't have to give your new toys. Just the old ones that you had, and you don't play with anymore." But then one of the little girls spoke up and said, "Actually, sir, considering all that Jesus has done for us, how can we give any less than our best? When you think about your life and what God has done for you, on occasion we have to ask, why in the world am I using Tupperware when it comes to my time and my talents? Sometimes we have to ask, why in the world am I serving the Lord in my styrofoam container? If I am really grateful for all that He has done for me. See, we have to be careful because we will have an attitude of ingratitude and easily forget all that God has done for us. The third thing we have to do is we have to understand honor versus dishonor. The third thing we have to ask ourselves is what we are doing honoring the Lord or is it dishonoring the Lord? Again, this is exactly what the book of Malachi is talking about, that we dishonor God when we give Him our leftovers. I think here of verse 8 where it says, when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor, and will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts. Again, God is saying some very strong things here to His people because He is dishonored because of their attitude of worship. They weren't bringing their best. They were bringing their worst. And God says that is not good enough. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, there's a great story there where a guy wants to offer a sacrifice on behalf of King David. And when King David comes and meets that guy, he says this, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, that has cost me nothing. He says, I will not offer it if it costs me nothing. But yet so many times in our lives, we give because we say it will not cost us anything. Or we serve if we don't have anything else to conflict with that. But if it costs us anything, if we have to give up anything, many times we say, I can't do it. So we have to understand honor versus dishonor. The fourth thing is we have to understand obedience versus disobedience. Because if we are not careful, we have an opportunity in our generosity to even be disobedient. And we disobey God when we live life with closed hands. 1 John 3:16 through 17 says this, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for His brothers. But, don't miss this, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Do you see that right there? The question of whether God's love is inside of us or not is how we love our brother. Our relationship with the Lord could be questioned if we close our heart against our brothers. 1 John 3:18 through 19, it continues, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. The Bible says here, it's not about saying that we love people because talking is cheap, that it's about action. Think about this for a minute. We could say to our community, we love you, Cleveland, Tennessee. We love you. But what good is that going to do by us just saying that? What impact is that really going to have? But let me tell you what will really change things is when we go into action. If we say we love you, our community, that's one thing. But as we did a few weeks ago when we were delivering Christmas meals to a couple of families through our Sunday school classes, and we delivered presents to the children, with all of that, when we go to them and say, we really do care about you, we recognize you, we know you are here, and we want to do everything we can to serve you. Here is a Christmas meal because we love you. That brings it to a whole new level. And see, when Jesus is talking about serving people in Romans chapter 12, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, the things that come to mind is dying to self. And when I think of our nursery volunteers, I think of people dying to themselves. Because you know what they're volunteering to do? They're volunteering to change diapers. Who in the world wants to do that? I'm sure that all of them would rather much be out here every single Sunday and singing with us. I'm sure they'd all rather be out here participating in the Lord's Supper with us. I'm sure they'd rather be out here seeing the baptisms and celebrating them with us. But they have chosen to die to themselves and said that I will give up one Sunday every 3 weeks to serve these young kids. Or I think of our greeters. You know, they're like mailmen. Rain, snow, it doesn't matter. They're always at our doors with smiles, opening the doors, helping people get where they need to be. And I'm sure they'd prefer to be down in the bistro enjoying that wonderful cheese toast. I'm sure they'd be rather enjoy that fellowship they could have with others. I'm sure that they would rather enjoy spending a few more minutes in Sunday school class rather than having to always rush up here to get back to the door. But they have chosen to die to themselves to serve other people. And when we choose to die to ourselves, it gives us an opportunity to demonstrate love. Not just that we're saying it with our mouths, but that we're also putting it into action. That we get to demonstrate our love. And when we die to ourselves, it helps us to clearly understand that this is not about us. This world, this church, the things that God is doing everywhere, they are not about us. So he calls us to be a living sacrifice. And I'll tell you what, if we choose to live life with a closed hand, the Bible says that we would be disobedient to the point that it could even be questioned if we even know the Lord. Do you know what disobedience really is? It's about running through the stop signs that God has set up for us. I'll tell you one thing, as you leave here today, don't run through any of the stop signs. It could be very dangerous for you. And it's true with those spiritual stop signs that God puts up in our lives. He puts them up because he loves us. He puts them up because he wants what is best for us. Through that, he is saying, I want to see you mature and grow and become more Christ-like. I don't want you to be hurt, so I put all these stop signs up to help you. And I'll tell you what, if you just avoid those things and you run through those stop signs, then I will tell you here today that you will never find what you are looking for. You will never be fulfilled. You'll never find purpose. And if you are closed-fisted today, I can promise you, you are missing out on one of the things of knowing God better. Because the generosity that he has shown us, the mercy of God that he has been pouring out upon our lives, is what God does so that we can recognize and know that in our generosity, we can live our lives in a way that honors him. And then the last thing is, that then leads to worship. When we think about ownership, when we get that right, then we will be grateful. We will not dishonor the Lord, but we will honor him. We will not be disobedient, but obedient to live our lives in a way that honors him by being a living sacrifice. That word worship comes from an old word, worth-ship. It means to ascribe worth to an object or to a person. Romans 12:1 again says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, it was animals. Animals were sacrificed as a statement of a person's heart. But when it comes to the New Testament, we are the sacrifice. We worship God when we are generous with our treasure, our time, and our talents. When we are generous with these, we honor the Lord and we worship him. He calls us to be living sacrifices, presenting our bodies, our hearts, our minds, our hands, all as an act of worship. I'll tell you one thing worship isn't, though. Worship isn't what we see in the book of Malachi. Worship isn't just coming into this room and sitting and singing. It's more than that. See, what happens when we just come into this room is that we can all just play and go through the motions. See, that's the problem here in Malachi chapter 1. He says, you're just going through the motions. And he says, it's so horrific that I find no pleasure in it. I find no meaning in it. And he says, if I could just find one of you who would go and lock that door so that you could never enter into the temple again and offer those sacrifices and sing to me, that is what I would want, because what you are doing is meaningless and worthless. And so God wants something more of us. You know what? Worship doesn't just happen because we sing. It doesn't come from the outside to the inside. Our worship comes from the inside to the outside. And it's when we come into this room and we say, I'm not right mentally right now. And I'm just don't feel like worshiping right now, which happens to every single one of us. And so we say, I'm going to bow the knee of my heart to God, and I just pray that you would help me to be a good worshiper today. We can't even worship God correctly on our own. We need God's help. So when we come, it's not always perfect. We need the Lord's help to be good worshipers so that we could be the living sacrifices that He wants us to be. So again, I urge you to think back on the mercies in view of God's mercies, all the goodness, all the mercy, the opportunity to be saved, to know Him personally. How in the world can we not live our lives with a grateful attitude that honors Him, that serves Him, that is full of gratitude, and that we will live all of our lives as a living sacrifice? We won't do it perfectly every time, but it should be the pattern of our life. And here is the challenge for you today. If you are in the no group here this morning, I hope that you will start shifting to the maybe group. Would you just give us a shot? Would you say, yes, I'll say I can serve over here or there from time to time. And if you're in the maybe group, I hope you'll start shifting to the yes group. You say, I want to serve, just plug me in. I want to be used by God. And the final challenge for the day is this. We have a lot of places here for you to serve. You've seen it in the bulletin. We have a need for nursery volunteers. We are getting ready to start up a children's church within the next few weeks, hopefully. We need volunteers for that who will say, I want to invest in the next generation to teach them the truths of God. We need help with workers in our youth ministry. He will say, I just want to step alongside some of these kids and just be there for them to help equip them for what the world is going to be throwing at them. So I'm going to invest in them while we have them here. We need volunteers. Or maybe you're saying, well, I would like to do this, but we don't have anything here like that. Well, guess what? I have dreams. I have visions. Many people here have dreams and visions, and maybe you are the one that God has been preparing to carry that out. As whatever it is, there are many things that we could do, but to see us truly reach our community, we have to all be all in instead of relying on a few to do all the work. So the challenge today is maybe you're not serving anywhere and you're thinking here that maybe there is something I can do here at this church. Maybe I'm willing to teach. Maybe I'm willing to work with the children. I'm willing to do something. Can I ask you to do a favor for me? There in front of your pew, there's those blue cards that I talked with you about. If you don't have a blue card, then grab one of the envelopes. There's some paper up there. If you just turn that blue card over on the back, put your name on it, and say, here's what I would be willing to do. If you're willing to step into a role, let me know. That's the only way I can know, is if you let me. And there's some offering plates in the back there, or I'll be back there, or if you walk out the front, put it here on the side of the pew. But if you would just turn that in by the end of the service, I would appreciate it. Because there are many things that we can be doing. Because you might say, you really think I can do something here? And my answer is, I do. Because God has given us all that we need to work for Him and to serve Him, to bring Him glory. And through our generosity of giving our time, our talents, and our resources, we can worship Him in everything we do. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all you have done. Father, I know as I look back over my life, as I look over my shoulder, I can see your mercy everywhere. I can point to things in my life where I can say it was only because of God that this happened. My mind just floods back to them as I speak on this. You have been so grateful to me. And I'm sure there are many here who have the same stories. And especially if we are a child of God, you have been the most gracious God because you have provided salvation for us. And because of that, as we understand your grace and your mercy in our lives, how can we not be thankful for that? And then that leads to that mercy and that gratefulness flowing out of our lives onto other people. Father, I pray that you would lift us up to be a generous people, that we would be generous with all that you have given us as we understand that everything we have is from your hand, that we would be generous with our time, that we would be generous with our talents, with how we speak, with our resources. God, help us to grow more into the image of Christ, because we see that Christ came not to be served, but to serve. Father, create within us a heart for service, for servanthood, and helping minister to all those around us here in this church and throughout this community. And Father, if there is one here who doesn't know you, I pray that today would be their day of salvation, that they would understand your grace and your mercy and the work that you have done for them through your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross and on the third day rose from the dead so that we could be called children of God. We pray for all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.